Full Court Press.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Full Court Press. My name's Wesley. With me, as always, Rabbit and the Bagman.
Yeah.
How you guys going? Doing all right?
Doing good on this rainy Sunday.
Yeah. Last time we did this, it was preseason, and now the season has started. We're about 10 games per team into it.
Yep.
So it's early days. So please don't take any of our predictions too seriously, because they'll probably be wrong, other than Jason Kidd being a handbag and whatever else I said last week. This week, we'll be talking about a lot of the new rules that are being implemented. We're going to be talking a little bit about our usual douche of the week, kind of focusing on which teams are really sucking, which teams haven't really reached potential. Early days, maybe due to pressure or the fact that they have a bad coach named Jason Kidd, or there's a few different things.
You hate Jason Kidd.
It's going to be your nemesis.
I'm just riding it because I called it early, and I just see Brooklyn.
You should hate Paul Pierce, not Jason Kidd. Hate Paul Pierce.
Yeah,
Paul Pierce.
Agreed.
I'm not saying it. let's talk a little bit about some recent fights. I saw 3-foot-tall Mario Chalmers elbow 9-foot-tall Dirk Nowitzki in the throat or wherever it was.
Hate crime.
And he got fined money for that.
Yeah,
and suspension. Yeah. And he didn't play today.
Yeah, and he that was on the back end of a shiver he gave to Blake Griffin, I think, a few days before that, which they didn't call it a flagrant in the game, but the NBA went back and looked at it and issued one. I think that's part of why he's suspended as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Kind of two flagrants.
But yeah. The one on Griffin was way worse than the one on Nowitzki, I thought.
We also had a little Westbrook ejection.
But that was with Nene.
Did anyone actually see him try and push Nene?
It was pretty weak. He kind of got caught up and went down. He definitely went after Nene, but that was because Nene kind of gave him a little love tap as he tripped over another dude. Nene was definitely guilty.
Yeah, but like, did you see him actually try and push him as hard as he could and then just go back about 10 steps?
No, he squared up.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
He only got ejected because he got a tech earlier. He wouldn't have got ejected for that. He just got a single tech, and that was his second tech, so he got
But the point I'm making is, why would you try and push someone that huge just to prove a point?
Because they're all gangsters, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all ego. No one's going to throw a punch. We know that.
No.
It's all like brouhaha stuff, yeah. Stevenson got a tech for waving the ball in Tony Allen's face. I thought that was outrageous. Yeah. He had the ball during play, clock's ticking, everything. He, you know, did the palm thing to fake him out. It's a little bit of a, you know, gangster move, a bit insulting.
It's a bit street ball.
Yeah, but you can't call a tech for it, and they did, and they lost possession and everything. To me, that's outrageous.
Is it that different than what Michael Jordan did when he played for the Wizards, when he did the behind the guy?
It's no different.
Faked him out?
No different.
It's just everyone's being massive softcocks about the rules now.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, there was the Sam Cassell testicle thing.
Yeah, we had this is my massive beef, right?
Yeah.
There's been two instances. Andre Blatch did it one time, Caron Butler did it one time. They did the Sam Cassell, look at my fucking massive testicles, I just hit a huge shot dance where you like run down, you grab your fake massive dick, your testicles or whatever. And Cassell did it like early 2000s, something like that, playing for the T-Wolves.
Sure.
And it's like an iconic thing.
I think it's great.
And now someone does it and you get fined $15,000 for having a personality. It's so fucked
up. So I was going to ask you guys, all this stuff, the dumbing down of any emotion, the how nitpicky the NBA are getting. You think it's... I think, it's a reaction from the malice years ago, and ever since the malice, every year it's been getting worse and worse, or better and better, which depending what side you look at it. But does the NBA... Is it kind of like a disconnection from their fans, do you think, these days, with how corporate the NBA has got, that they can't kind of piece together their fans from... They need the corporate message. They think their fans want the corporate message. But really, everyone I speak to is disgusted with how PG the NBA has gotten.
I think it's all about the kids. You know,
yeah,
NBA cares. They do so many community projects.
It's not all about the kids.
And I know it's not.
Yeah.
But as far as they're concerned, parents, kids are watching the game. So
sure.
You have to... You have to change RoboCop from R-rated to PG-13 and ruin everyone's fucking hopes.
So that's it. Because of the money involved, the corporatism of... Corporatism? Is that a word? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying.
Corporation.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a disconnection from the real NBA audience, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's concerning. And I think in the future, it's going to get even worse. So when do you take the soul out of the game? Because that's all it is. The emotion, the reaction after a bucket or a big foul or whatever. It's getting really, really sterile.
It's
getting ridiculous. And it sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Well, you look at, like you were saying, like if you're a suit working for the NBA, you're going to be preaching the family message for sure, you know, like that's where the money is apparently, whatever. But I was reading this interview with Jordan this week, and they were asking him about his favorite plays of all time, and his second favorite dunk, like his second favorite play of his own, was when he dunked on Mutombo and gave him the finger wave.
How couldn't it be? It's great.
It's so great. And then, so remember totally. The whole Mutombo finger wave, that was a marketing campaign in the 90s or even early 2000s where he blocked someone. It was a whole ad campaign of
don't
him
come
waving
back.
His finger Obaka in people's
was
faces.
Doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Not anymore. He gets tight.
And you look at the Malice in the Palace, that wasn't a result of people like showboating or anything of each other. It was just because of a one-off play and people getting... I can see the message that they're trying to say, like, we're going to stop people from having an excuse to go and be aggressive at other people. But you're taking the soul out of the game. All these great moments, like the classic moments, like Reggie with the choke sign.
Oh, incredible.
These like amazing moments in NBA history are all to do with people being extreme personalities.
Yeah.
Barkley, Miller, MJ,
and being
all
extremely
these guys.
Emotional because of what's happening. It takes away from the gravity of the situation. Some of those reactions that those guys do are purely based off a massive, massive shot or a stop or whatever. And people want to see that. They want to see the emotion. Yeah. They want to see it means as much to the player as it does to the fan.
And now double tech.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's review it for about an
exactly.
hour.
Exactly.
So I'm saying to you earlier today, the Jeff Green did a massive left-handed dunk on Max Seal earlier this season.
Mm.
And it was in similar fashion last year. He threw it in on someone, just gave him a straight-up stare down, you know, standing up, like staring him, nothing, like no like sort of gestures or anything in his face, just a full-on stare down.
Yep.
Last year, he got tech for it, and he put Max Seal, who's 6'10", he put him on his anus. And, you know, this year, he was like standing right over the top of him. He just wanted like, you know, I wanted to like skate on his face.
Yeah,
like,
hard.
Just anything going.
Just got to let him know.
You know, it's like some guy, dude, 6'10", challenged him, and he met the challenge and destroyed the motherfucker. And you're like, why can't you celebrate that? It's ridiculous. It's a man's game.
It's starting to get ridiculous.
I hate it.
It's a bit of a down point. The kids are loving it, but there have been a couple improvements. They're not calling charges as much, I noticed. Traveling. They're not letting Chris Paul get away with so much caring and stuff like that, which is kind of cool because they can already take an extra step in the NBA compared to everyone else.
Yeah, don't you think there's been a few little things where it's inconsequential traveling, where you're first picking up your dribble like 30 feet away from the basket and they're calling you because like you pick up your pivot foot? I think it just like slows the game down a touch. Like it's good that they're pulling up travels and stuff more. So
the charges is the biggest one I noticed because before, you know, especially Battier and all those guys, you get charges all the time. But now, if there's any slight movement of the foot coming over, then they won't call it. And I think it's cool because you get a little bit of a collision and the game just continues to go on.
Yeah, should favor the offensive player.
Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely. So that's cool. But yeah, I mean, if you're getting rid of these levels of celebration, it's not cool. And now it's getting even further and we're getting into, you know, personal's private social networking, you know, bullshit. So, you know, if you have a Twitter page and you say something, now you work for me, I'm going to fine you because I don't like what you say. How far do we have to go?
Well, we touched on that the other week when we were saying, I don't reckon it's healthy for a lot of NBA players to have social media.
Yeah.
It sort of brings out how mental some guys are. It sort of brings out how immature a lot of these guys are who've been handed these golden tickets and they still don't act as responsibly as they should, you know, and start petty beefs on the internet and stuff where you got to walk away from that stuff.
What I want to know is...
That's a separate thing, I think, though. That's not really involved in the new officiating of the game and stunting the emotion, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but the NBA are making it a bigger deal by finding it because then the media talks about it and then it's all of a sudden way bigger. Like, would have anyone here given a shit about what J.R. Smith tweeted? Or, you know, last week?
Well, from a celebrity point of view, yes, but not really from a, like, sort of ethical point of view, like, oh, he's wrong to do that or anything. Yeah. It's all good.
But could you imagine if there was Twitter around when, like, Dennis Rodman was playing and stuff? Imagine some of that. Imagine trying to keep a lid on,
just
Twitter, on the worm.
Of his dick or something. It would have been horrible.
Yeah, he's probably doing that.
Imagine the war between Rodman and Rodman and Scottie Pippen or something in the Detroit series, you know, all that kind of stuff. It would have been
glorious.
Yeah. So you get $15,000 if you make a big, I have big testicles gesture.
25, wasn't it?
I think 15.
Oh, okay. 15.
And then if you go after a player and say, I'm gonna take you down.
I'm gonna
send
my street homies to straight up break you.
Yeah.
So what did? Give me the exact quote from J.R. Smith.
From J.R.
Hostile in an inappropriate language.
Yeah, he said, quote, he was going to unleash his street homies onto him. Hashtag smash Detroit.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
For real.
For real.
Yeah. Not kidding.
$25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only get like 120 characters in Twitter for $25,000. It doesn't even work out.
You got to set the scene though. It was in response to Brandon Jennings calling out J.R. Smith's brother Chris Smith, who is a massive hoax and has no right to be in the NBA. Granted, but Brandon Jennings went after him because he's got a couple of homies playing overseas or in the D League, and he's like, "These boys, my boys, can't get a contract," and that hoax. Because of JR, you know, doing a behind-the-table sort of deal with the Knicks to get his bro on the team. That's the conspiracy. And Brendan Jennings was sort of taking offense to it, and then it started the war.
Mm. But if everyone who had a pot shot, if everyone who wanted to punch Brandon Jennings in the face sent $25,000 somewhere, you could fix the Philippines.
Hard.
But everyone wants to take a pot shot at Brandon Jennings.
Totally. If the NBA wanted to do something cool, anytime they find someone, that fine should go straight into some sort of community jerk-off project or, like,
I'm sure it does, though.
They can balance the
books however they want and say, we donated X amount from that.
Cash, let me tell you.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice.
And also, you know, Larry Sanders punched someone in a bar, injured his own hand, now can't play, didn't get fined. I don't think he got fined.
You know,
he apologized.
You know what he did get fined for? He left two German Shepherd puppies out in the cold, and he got fined $330 for animal neglect.
From the RSPCA or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Nolly, really?
We don't call it that in America. 100,
The Animal Welfare League, what do they call it?
Yeah.
But back to that point about Sanders, I think it's a police investigation, and if he's found guilty of it, then they'll fine him. Mm. They're innocent till proven guilty
kind
of thing.
So then maybe once he's officially proven guilty, then the fine
probably
will be handed down.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Well, that's going on with Perkins
like
at the moment.
$25,000 for basically a sentence?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, J.R. Smith wrote a sentence on Twitter. Mm. You don't have to follow him. Mm. You can follow him if you want to.
Yeah.
Larry Sanders gets in a fight with another human being in a bar and compromises his team and injures himself.
Yeah.
Is he going to get a $25,000 fine?
Is that completely outside the realm of the NBA? What he does, you know, I guess you could say that about Twitter. If he's threatening another NBA player, then it's in the jurisdiction of the NBA to take action. Mm. But if he goes and punches some random in a bar, then what has that got to do with the NBA?
It's just a lot of gray areas with social media. That's the thing. We haven't figured it out yet. The NBA don't know what to do with it
yet. Well, what's your stance on this whole Matt Barnes thing? Because then it becomes like a racial issue.
Well, he said, you know, I love my players more than anything. They're like family to me.
Do you want
to
hear the...
But I'm sick of paying for it.
I love my teammates like family, but I'm done standing up for these N-bombs. All this shit does is cost me money.
And this was after he got ejected.
How much did he get fined?
Oh,
pretty sure it was 25.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That seems to be the standard...
He's like,
you know,
he got suspended.
First point.
Did he get suspended for the altercation?
No, I think he got suspended. Oh, I'm not sure. It all seems to mesh into one.
Yeah.
The altercation was... That was the what was that? That was
with Barker.
Barker and Griffin,
yeah.
And that was during the game. He went to the change rooms. He was on his way to the change rooms. Got his kids out of the stand. Walked back in the change rooms after the game's still going, and he's throwing this tweet out. It got deleted later, but it just shows you a little bit of the mentality, though. That deserves kind of punishing because that's just a retard move. You know, you don't need to do that kind of stuff. Obviously, you're angry and emotional. Someone should have been there going, dude, get off Twitter. Like, the game's still going on. You're angry. You're just in a dust-up. What are you doing, you know?
Mm. Yeah, but the only reason this is an issue is because he used what people would consider a racist term.
Yeah.
Which he's well within his right to use because it's you look at the context of it.
Yeah.
You know, we were saying like you could say that about anything. You could replace that with the word like guys or, or person or anything like that. It doesn't matter. But because he said that now, it's like a massive
deal. Is that it? That's just because he dropped the N bomb.
Yeah, what else does he say?
Is it the fact that he's tweeting during the game? Is it the fact that purely from offensive
and.
That's a gray area, man. Yeah. I'm not going to touch that. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. Also, I didn't know he was black. I thought he was Mexican.
Yeah, so
go.
Did I. He's black. Sort of Mexican. Like that coffee sort of thing.
But anyway, people are like rallying latte. Around him. Like Barkley said, he goes, I'm a black man. I use it all the time. I will continue to use it amongst my black friends and my white friends.
Yeah.
And he goes, what I do with my black friends isn't up to America to dictate to me.
Well, it's very true.
Same thing for
very
Barnes.
True. Yeah, yeah.
What
I agree with that.
In the locker room, what he says to his friends or anyone who decides to follow him on Twitter shouldn't have anything to do with the NBA, I don't think.
How many 12-year-old kids follow Matt Barnes on Twitter?
Probably too many. Probably more than follow us.
Yeah, most definitely.
I'll say that.
Obviously, a lot of fighting, a lot of back and forth, social network antics, a lot of gossip for only a couple weeks
games.
Into the goddamn league.
Going
it's
on.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Right now, we got the Pacers at 9-1 and the Spurs at 9-1. You know, these are two teams that are dominating.
Yep. Great to see. Great ball.
It's amazing. You know, and we talked about, our predictions a couple podcasts ago, and we all had the Spurs up there, but it's just amazing how they put it together every fucking game.
Under the radar.
Like, why do
no
you
one talks
care about,
it. About
basketball? You've been playing it since you're 36.
They've been doing it without Duncan for stretches. Mm. Leonard's coming on.
Patty Mills is the backup point guard now.
Yep.
It's pretty massive.
Yeah, totally.
He's playing great.
Lean and Ginobili mean. Is out there in a wheelchair, I'm pretty sure.
They're carrying him. Yeah, they're carrying him up the court.
But
fine.
It doesn't matter who they trot out. Yeah. It's going to happen. And it's not like Leonard's taking this step and he's turning into an all-star caliber player. It's the same. It's the same as last year. And they just maintain it.
You can't beat textbook well-executed plays. And they're just
obviously
amazing
you're
at
get
it.
Incredible results out of the big three. But Danny Green looks so confident after his year last year. You know, he looks like a mature, serious, ready-to-go player. He
knockdown shooter.
Shot.
Knockdown shooter.
He took a couple games to come on, but like he's in the group now. He's in player form the last few games.
Yeah, a little Australia plug as well. Patty looks great, man.
Yeah, he's killing
it. The offense is completely different when he's on it and Tony Parker's not. But he's hitting shots. He looks healthy. And obviously the Pacers look fantastic
Love it.
As well.
Indiana.
They had a big loss to Chicago, but you can't win, 10 in a row.
Yeah, you don't win every
game. It's an amazing...
If you lose 1-10, that's you're doing
fantastic.
Pretty fucking well.
Yeah.
It's the best record in basketball.
The
right
entire
now.
Team looks fan-fucking-tastic.
Yep. It's great that all the hype about the bench is sort of starting to pay off. Like, Scola has had his hand in a few key victories.
Stevenson.
Granger is about to come back to practice.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting to see where he fits in.
Well, he was supposed to be healthy, and then he got injured again.
Yeah.
And now he's going to come back. So
does he come back with the second unit? You would argue he'd have to, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's guys running around like Solomon Hill. They've got these guys that are no-name guys that he's going to be taking minutes off. But I don't think you'll see him for more than 15 minutes a game to start off. Definitely with the second unit. That's great. It's a perfect situation for him to come back to. And defensively, it's going to be awesome as well because they're going to have a bigger, more athletic, rangy sort of
And they can play Granger in the fourth, down the stretch. They can go pretty big. They can squeeze him in. They can put George at the two and see what happens there. Although Stevenson's been owning games down the stretch. I don't know if you want to mess with that.
Steven's my pick for sixth man of the year this year.
He's starting. It's going to be difficult.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was coming off the bench.
See, they got options. That's the thing. Exactly.
Yeah, he could easily turn into six man second half of the season.
Did you guys know Hibbert's averaging 4.5 blocks a game?
Huge.
It's insane. Hibbert's playing insane at the defensive end. Paul George is coming into his own, and he's throwing assists out. He's rebounding. You're talking about a team where their bona fide superstar is taking the next step, but everyone beneath him has upped their game as well.
And can we comfortably say probably now one of the better coaches in the NBA?
Frank
we
Vogel.
Never talk about him.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's definitely maximizing what he's got.
He's extremely vocal.
Frank Vogel.
Frank Vogel calling timeouts in the right times.
Yeah.
players seem to really want to play for him.
He backs himself. I remember listening to an interview with him like second round in the playoffs last year when they were coming up. Oh, sorry, they just beat the Knicks and they were coming in to play Miami. And he's like, they're like, are you worried about, you know, having to play small or not being able to play small? And he's like, not at all. I bring it on. I want to play big. I want to play old school basketball. I want to crush these guys with power play. And didn't back down for a second. And look at them, like one game away from the finals.
Yeah,
and dominating
strengths.
This year. Yeah, not afraid at all.
Why shouldn't they? Because they've got the same core starting five that they had from...
Yep.
They went to game seven of the conference finals. Mm. And now they've come back stronger. And they've got continuity, which is awesome. You know,
chemistry.
Like they're playing with the same bunch of guys. Yep. You can't put a price on
I'd be
on
scared
them.
If I was Miami. I don't know if they're going to get out of the East. I mean, hey, like you said, 10 games in.
10 games in. Yeah. And, you know, Pacers, Spurs, both 9-1. After that, your four top teams there, Miami 7-3, Golden State 7-3, Portland 7-2, and Clippers 7-3. Portland had a little bit of an easier run to the start of the season. That's the weird one out, obviously. But... all fantastic teams. For me, straight off the bat, was there anything more exciting, maybe other than Lakers-Clippers first game, than Golden State versus OKC?
Wasn't that
a good
game?
My favorite game so far. Yeah. Just... and it, like going from, you know, you're talking about everyone, like the hypes around Indiana and Golden State even, but for me, to start the season, the Thunder, I thought they were going to really struggle. Thought their bench was going to have heaps of problems, but Reggie Jackson's a beast.
Yeah.
And Lamb's looking pretty solid. They got Perry Jones running around. Adams has been great. All these young guys.
The Kiwi.
Yeah. So, you know, who would want to play Oklahoma City in the playoffs?
You guys were laughing at me and I had Oklahoma at one in the West.
Yeah.
I don't know if there'll be one or two, though. They'll come. When you have the chemistry that Westbrook and Durant have together and you can harvest that and put, well... and like good NBA players around him, solid basketball guys behind him. You know, that's so huge, those two together.
And
how they play together and how they spread the floor and how they worry defenses. You can't... that's priceless.
And how much has Ibaka come to life since Westbrook's been back?
It's crazy.
He's not the second best player on a good team.
No.
But he's a very good third best player.
Yeah.
But if he has to make shit happen for himself, it's going to be a fucking abortion.
And an extremely pink tongue. other than that... for you, you know, which kind of players for you, Rabbit, do you feel have really kind of, you've been excited to watch?
Please,
let's not go mainstream.
No,
I'm just not gonna, go a little underground here.
Well, I was going to say Stevenson. We touched on that before. Super impressed with his start to the scene. You know, he's the second top scorer on Indiana. He's averaging 14 points and 5 assists. He's in the conversation for most improved for... the season,
no
if
doubt.
He keeps this up. I was really impressed with the way he started the season because there's all these questions about him. He's a hothead, kind of out of the Jamal Crawford mold, like takes some really questionable shots sometimes, but he's managed to, I think Vogel's kept him under wraps, kept him level-headed. He's playing great, aggressive basketball. He's got the green light, knows when to take shots, plays in spurts. He's very streaky, and he's just fitting in really well with that offense. The other guy I love is Kevin Love. That's mainstream, but you can't ignore his numbers at the moment.
Historic numbers.
His numbers are incredible. 27 and 15 on 50% shooting with 5 assists. The only players to do that in a season ever are Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and Kareem.
I did it once.
Can you believe that? At Alfred Park. It doesn't count.
I did that one day. Yeah.
But imagine that. Those stats, if he can hold that for a season, that's some pretty crazy company. And...
already sniffing rumors, you know, like, oh, he's going to go to New York and...
I read that, yeah. Minnesota will do everything to keep him.
He's going.
You ain't get the fuck out of...
don't go to New York.
Run out of there. No, you wouldn't go there, but, you know, it's interesting that it's already kind of starting.
Can I sneak in one more guy in here?
I have two guys.
Well, it's nothing big. I just want to make a point of Westbrook, and I know that's mainstream, but everyone was harping on about D. Rose and like, oh, you know, he's rusty and he's coming back from this injury. Give him time. Westbrook's come back from a crazy injury as well. Hasn't missed a beat, and I think no one's really called that out. He's straight back into exactly where he was last season, and that's pretty impressive. Rose is 14-4 on the season. Westbrook's 21-5. Straight away, his first game, he dropped 20-something.
It just
I think you can't ignore that
pressure around Rose is like double what Westbrook's is, though.
Yeah,
it just seems like even though Westbrook was gone, it's still all about Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Always constantly focused about Kevin Durant.
I don't know. I don't reckon for this season it will be because they realized how much they missed him when he was out.
Yeah, but it helps if you got the second best player in the universe on your team. You know,
hard. Like, yeah.
Well, for me, I'm going to go obviously my favorite team in the whole world, but you know, Hornacek, first coach, I think, in history for the Suns to win four home games, the first four home games.
It's cool.
And I think a big part of that is Eric Bledsoe. He is getting paid $10 million a year, but he's averaging 20 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 6.8 assists. Yeah, now, he's my guy that I'm going to talk about, but let's just, I brought another guy into this because I want to talk about money. So he's getting $10 million. And then my other guy is lovely Gordon Hayward, who's getting paid $2.7 million. Now, you tell me another player in the NBA that's making 19.8 points a game, 6.3 rebounds.
On 2 million.
And 4.8 assists.
He's on his rookie deal, bro. That's what happened.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get a little love from
extension.
Utah.
Yeah.
They're now 10-1.
10-1, that's right, yeah.
Oh, sorry. 1-10.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
You get
gross.
What I mean out there.
Yeah. Definitely. We all know they suck.
Totally. But those are two players, I think they're dominating for their teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's a win or not a win, they're getting buckets.
They're getting buckets.
Let's just say that every time.
Every time we make an opinion.
I just got to say.
Well, for me, there's been a couple of early ones. Tristan Thompson for the Cavs has been playing really solid and great. Kevin Martin, the T-Wolves, is lighting it up.
He's playing better.
Yeah,
for the Wolves,
he was averaging 27 in a game.
It's crazy, hey?
A game last night.
Yeah,
but
still the ugliest shot in the NBA. But
so
incredible.
Weird. It's one-handed,
it is so weird.
Freaky. But
him and that dude from the Rockets.
Yeah, but you can't defend it. You can't defend that shot. It's so unorthodox. You don't know what he's doing until he's released
really quick
it.
Shot as well.
It's a bit disgusting. And he flops around everywhere, so I can't give it to him there. But for
you see that Terry flop, by the way, the other day.
Oh yeah,
gross.
We'll talk about that.
Disgusting.
For mine. And you'll be surprised that he's leading the team in scoring, but Klay Thompson, I think, is like the game against Oklahoma City we were talking about was one of the best games of the season thus far. It was the second game that he's hit six threes this season.
Crazy.
And more importantly, I think Curry was really struggling in the back half of that game. There was not a lot going on. OKC were rallying, and Thompson was just very, very steady. And I saw him put the T-Wolves away earlier this year.
Yeah, so
just
that.
Like beating mismatches, super confident. And I just think he's ready to explode. He's going great. He's going to be the real deal.
I think he's been he definitely would have been taken aside at the start of the season and said you're our. If obviously Curry's there, and obviously Iggy, all the hype was around those two, but. His performance in the playoffs last year, he kind of snuck up on a few people, but this season I think he's been given the green light. You know, if you're feeling it, you keep jacking. Don't worry about Steph. Like, he'll get you the ball. He knows. And that backcourt, Mark Jackson said it last year. Didn't he say best of all time?
Yeah.
Which is questionable, but you can see where he's coming from now. He sees it every day, day in, day out at training. Imagine how many threes, how impressive those two play together. You know, he might be a little bit, you know, full of himself, but you can't deny the.
But also, and it's not for the length of the game, but in stretches, Thompson plays incredible defense. And with him and Iguodala, like you saw them giving fits to, you know, they want to hide Curry on Cephalosha during the OKC game. Thompson was picking up Westbrook or Durant or Iggy or Thompson were getting switches on those guys and they could both handle it.
Totally. And he can run all game.
Yeah,
his cardio is off the charts.
And, you know, like I was salivating thinking about a 7-game series with those two because the matchups are super intriguing.
Yep.
And because of that, because they've got two guys that can guard their two perimeter guys.
Sure.
And it was crazy.
You have to give the edge to the Warriors because... if it's on paper, because the Oklahoma don't have the inside presence, the scoring inside presence of Lee and Westbrook. Bogut. Mm. And Bogut can pass. The big man can pass.
Lee downstairs is dangerous.
If they're all firing...
And they're working so well as a unit together, you know?
Wasn't it cool to see Iggy hit the game winner the other night.
It was incredible.
It was glorious.
And then Westbrook with that cold-blooded three from the car park.
Like, it's even more exciting to see that Lee doesn't seem like he's got any sort of issues around
No niggling injuries,
He's
yeah.
lost a little bit of weight, so there's less kind of...
He's the smiliest bench person time.
And it's also, you know, like, let's not forget, you know, 2 years ago, all we were dealing with is Bogut's injured. He's looking so healthy. So as long as they can continue doing that...
I'm pretty sure David Lee leads the league in double-doubles as well.
K-Love,
of course. Yeah. Last season?
Beat K-Love
Yeah, David Lee led the league last season.
With K-Love K-Love's out.
Only had one game without a double-double so far this year.
So we've talked a little bit about who we love. Now we're going to talk a little bit about who's stinking it up. And obviously, New York's top on the list because they had such big expectations.
But not from me. Fuck New York.
Yeah.
If we could narrow it down to are we going to narrow it down to a single player, or do we want to talk about teams?
No, it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah, whatever you wanted.
Oh, sorry, New York is a clusterfuck.
If we want to talk about how much the Knicks are shit, whatever you want to say, I'm all for
it. Well, why don't you tell me who you had?
Management. I didn't have New York for, like, you know, my biggest disappointment thus far, because I thought they were going to be as terrible as they are.
Yep.
Worse. So, do you care if I segue here quickly before
please
we...
Well, I think we'll spend some time talking about New York later anyway.
We'll get to New York later. And if you have anything to say about New York, please join our podcast at FCP. All right, anyways.
Well, mine was the Cavs. I thought the Cavs were going to do a lot better than they have to start the season. They're 3-7 at the moment. I thought Irving was going to sort of cement himself as one of the top 10 players in the game. He's shooting 38% right now, not looking very good at all. Number one pick, Anthony Bennett, shooting less than 15%, averaging 1.4 a game. Pretty rough.
It's a new Kwame Brown.
Jared Jack's sucking.
Yeah, not looking
good. He does not fit the system at all.
He's coming on a little bit.
Ugh, barely.
I just don't think Mike Brown's a good coach. I think he got by with LeBron a little bit, but I thought they were going to do okay. But Bynum's coming back. It's probably going to get together a little bit better, but it's a shit fight right now.
Well,
I think it's awful.
I think it was really obvious when I think they were playing the Timberwolves or whatever, but it was it went to double overtime.
Yeah.
And Kyrie had the last shot.
He had three last shots.
And then he had the last shot in second overtime.
Yeah.
And then finally made it in the last. And I was like, wow, there really are no other fucking options on this team.
You know,
you doing a sick, you know, fadeaway or, you know, blow by. That's not good.
No.
You know?
But
you can't have one guy.
They played the Timberwolves twice. And one of the games, you know, Pekovic and Kevin Love aren't the best defenders in the world. Everyone knows that. And Thompson and Bynum were taking it straight to him in the paint and doing really well early. And then, you know, it just disappeared.
Yeah.
It was like they decided to start shooting jumpers at Jack and Waiters and Irving, and they went away from what was working. And it's just, you know, they don't seem to be able to enhance their strengths night
to
night.
So you put it down to you think it's a coaching thing?
Yeah, because on paper, I thought they were going to do really well, and they might still. I thought they'd make the
playoffs. I picked them for fifth overall.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, we all thought they were going to do fantastic.
Anthony Bennett took 6 games to get a bucket.
It's pretty rough.
6 games.
Yeah.
But they're playing him in spurts, you know. He's only playing 15
minutes. He's
straight
up fat.
That, to me, that's insane.
Yeah.
So insane.
I had Steve Nash as my worst player just because it's like...
That's so unfair.
I know. He's 40 and he can't walk. But, like, retire.
Yeah.
Just don't collect money and
retire. If you were getting paid $10 million to sit on the bench, would you do it?
Oh, I know he's a massive name, but...
He's been doing it for so long. It's
really
like routine.
I thought this year him and Gasol were going to really give it at least a good shot.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. Like, I thought he was going to be like, this is going to be my last year.
Remember how we were saying we're not talking about the Lakers because they're going to suck?
Yeah.
We don't want to know about it. Well, it looks like he could be in serious trouble, though, in the last few games. He left the game with a bad back injury in 2 weeks or
Dude,
so.
Dude, he sits. He goes up for like 5 minutes and then he lays
lying
down with like 900 towels.
With the cheerleaders. Not bad.
Yeah.
I'm hating on KG. He's done nothing for the impact that they wanted him to do in Brooklyn. 5 points a game, 6 rebounds, just a no-show down there.
Yeah, I think
there.
He's implemented some things, though. You know,
no,
like subs,
Brooklyn
got
suck.
A high five.
Brooklyn
when,
is
when
sucking.
When you get subbed off, you got to high-five the whole team.
Anything is possible.
He's got the team spirit there.
Sure, don't be afraid to punch guys in the nuts when they take jump shots.
I will
that kind
say,
of thing.
If you're going to say that about Kevin Garnett,
I am.
Whatever impact he's had on Andre Blatch seems to be a lot better than last year because – Andre Blatch seems way more engaged.
Oh, for this
yes,
whole
because Andre Blatch is going to play like 10 more minutes yeah, and cover for KG's
exactly.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's why he's going to be engaged.
Here you go, take my minutes. Here, yeah. Have him. It's fine because I'm old as fuck and sucking. And Deron Williams has got to take a little bit more responsibility
Dude,
as well.
How can you when you don't have any ankles?
Well, is it... Well,
how are you
going to play
basketball when you don't have ankles?
Is the whole Brooklyn thing too big a fish in... Too, sorry, let me say that better. Too many big fish in a small pond.
Deron Williams is their best player.
Is he?
I think he is.
Is Joe Johnson? Is Lopez?
No.
Is Paul Pierce?
If Deron Williams is at 100%, he's their best player.
He averaged 17 last season. He's averaging 11 this season.
Yeah.
And he's not getting as many shots as he had last season.
He's not healthy. And I think
he came back too early.
This is exactly what we were saying at the start of the season, that it was going to take... I think it'll probably take 20 games to get together. Mm-hmm. And this is a team that needs to finish only in the top eight to make a splash. Kirilenko's barely played. We're watching the game with the Clippers before.
Mm-hmm.
Williams, no Pierce.
There's no one.
No Garnett. Yeah. No Lopez in the clutch. You know, like, these are still
Terry
sort of
said
in
it,
the
we
game.
Need to play with urgency. They're definitely not playing with urgency now. Also, kids' lineups, like the game we just watched.
Yeah.
What the
questionable.
Fuck is that for the fourth
Freaky.
Quarter?
Could it stop the bleeding people? Sometimes? Yeah. Take a timeout, didn't
and
do
your
that.
Entire starting lineup off the bench.
I'm still not ready for you to... you know, live up to your claim of Jason Kidd being a terrible coach.
No,
not ready. Not ready yet.
They already retired his jersey.
You can yell
he's
at me at the end
player.
Of the
he's
season.
A champion. I love him. But
you don't love him.
I just don't think he should be a coach.
I'll give you till halfway through the season. All-star break. And if he's still sucking, I'll go with you and you can have that one. But I think they should be able to pull it together. We were talking top four for Brooklyn. A lot of people were with that lineup. Easy.
I'm not worried about Brooklyn at all.
Disappointing.
Give me
you're definitely
together.
Thinking top eight.
Yeah, disappointing 100%. Start. 100% though.
Oh,
disappointing
yeah.
start.
What about when the 76ers smashed the Heat? That was glorious.
That was a good time.
What about the Lakers beating the Clippers?
Game
Did
opening
anyone
day.
Else just throw up in their mouth
opening
after that?
Day.
Yeah, they weren't ready.
What about Derrick Rose's game shot winner on the Knicks? Suck a dick.
Anytime the Knicks lose is great, especially when it's to Charlotte at home. That's a good
it's
time.
So gross.
What
so
about
gross.
Sacramento beat Brooklyn?
Oh.
Strange things. It's always weird in the first 20 games of the season. What about Henry's dunk the other night against the Pelicans?
Oh,
he
Xavier
crushed
Henry.
On Withy. Withy? Withy?
Withy?
Withy?
Yeah.
Not sure.
Withy.
Not
Whitey.
Sure.
He's white.
100% white.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to take a charge. Yeah. He's so white, remember?
It's not his fault. It's the... homie that didn't
yeah, there's
rotate.
Two or three guys that really
just
kind of
got out of
that.
The way and he just...
He didn't have to try and take a charge yet. He had no right and he got posterized. It's heavy. It's probably the biggest dunk of the year so far.
Oh, definitely.
It's heavy.
It is by far, without a doubt, the dunk of the year. It might go all the way to the end during the awards. I can't imagine it being any... I mean, that's DeAndre Jordan. It's dunk right there, just in somebody's face, and it's more impressive because he's half the size, you know?
Yeah, and he crushed him, huge. Left him on the ground in his wrath at the end. It's huge. I love those type of dunks.
But enough about all this positive shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's talk about douchebag of the week.
Is this our first ever recurring segment?
I think it is.
Ever?
Possibly.
We're going to bring this up more often.
Douche of the week.
Douche of the week.
Even though we only do a podcast
like
every
once,
3 weeks.
Once a month. Yeah.
I feel we have a responsibility to call out people who are being douchebags.
Well, I was thinking maybe we could call douchebag of the week the Nick Young segment.
Ah.
Thank you.
Because you hate Nick Young that
much?
I just
hate his game.
Yeah,
I just don't
not a
like
fan.
It. You know,
it's pretty disgusting.
Can we lay down some laws? Can you be a douchebag for playing terribly? Can you, or is it just purely
just
social
just,
interaction?
It's not a douchebag because I say so.
Yeah,
damn straight.
It's a douchebag because you say so, but I don't think it should be like, it should just be concentrated on one incident.
Okay.
One moment that you saw over the last couple of weeks that you went, douche.
Rudy Gay taking 37 shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty douchey if you ask me.
It's incredibly
especially douchey. When you only hit 11 of them. That's super douchey.
He's got the green light.
Yeah. I think once you start throwing up bricks, you got to know that, you know, when you force it, you know, when you're playing and you're sucking and you keep trying, sometimes you make it worse. Mm. I think you got to know when to like start trying to get your teammates open.
For me,
that was pretty, pretty poor.
Jason,
and they lost.
Jason Terry in Sacramento. Yeah. When you're guarding the point guard and he just rotates the ball around, then you pretend like you got hit.
It
then you go
terrible,
up to the guy
terrible.
And try and punch him.
So bad.
Then the refs review it, realize you flopped, then you get the tech, and he gets the basket.
For the whole stadium to see again and again.
For that, douchebag. Terry, you are my douche.
I think that tops my Rudy Gay one.
Yeah, I really... you can't get past Jason Terry. I only had J.L. Smith because I want to try and make it a Nick every single time we do a podcast, mostly. And, you know, you're a 28-year-old man and you're threatening people over the internet while you're shooting 25% after coming back late from a drug charge.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, douche of the season, it's going to be hard to top there. Plus, I'm not playing unless my little brother gets a contract.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, fuck. But, like, yeah, Jason Terry.
You could put a sign up saying douchebag of the week, asterisk, whole New York organization.
Yeah.
Next, you know, and that can just sit there for the whole season if you want. I'm down
with
that.
So, I dare say it's unanimous. Terry, we're going to give it to Terry.
Come on, Terry. Yeah, I'm fine
Should
with that.
Should we have it like if the
points tally.
Wins the most douchebag of the week awards gets the douchebag of the year award at
douchebag
the end
of the year.
Season?
And we'll let him know. We'll hit up Twitter and let him know.
Yeah, hard. It's like the Dally M. But
yeah, it'd be like the raspberries. Yeah, sweet.
Oh, and it's raspberries. Yeah, I love it.
So, yeah, well, there's our douche of the week. Should we get a little bit into our favorite subject, the Knicks, or have we killed it? There's so much to talk about with the New York. That's the problem.
Yeah, there is. Let's do it. It was a big week for New York.
They were the most enjoyable team for me to watch last year during the regular season, and now it's like it's watching The Biggest Loser. It's just
watching a train wreck.
That's what happens when you go looking for your free agents at a psychological nightmare center or whatever.
We brushed on the Brandon Jennings, J.R. Smith thing. That's ridiculous. Big one is Tyson Chandler is out.
Yeah,
big you got trouble. Your one, you know, decent defensive player who's going to give you a little bit of presence at the ring, and he's gone.
I don't know how he can't even be over it. Like,
4 to 6 weeks.
I'm injured. Amari, get your fat ass off. Do something. Italian guy.
Amari can't play defense. He never could.
What's with the weird white spot?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where did that come from?
It's cool. It's cool now because Sheed had it. He's got to have one.
Is it
sort of like a weird birthmark or some shit?
The birthmark there?
I don't know. It's weird.
He'd never had that before.
Oh, he didn't?
I didn't see that.
He's got this freaky
fashion sense. I've been
watching
him for 15 years.
Yeah, that's true.
I never saw that. Now he's got this weird kind of old man thing going.
You know what I would be doing? Like, I'd be ringing Fareed if I could and say, don't go to New York. Don't do it because there's all these rumors of the Chumpet. Fareed trade.
The word is Denver said, no thanks.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Whose word is that? Is that Twitter or whose word is that? I'm still
not
hearing
my sources out just because you asked.
Internet
them.
Said.
I hope not. I hope you're right because that would be so bad. But Shumpert and Woodson had a massive blow up in a timeout the other night. You could see him blowing up at each other, and then Shumpert went and sat on the edge of the bench, left the huddle. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look good with that. So trade thing.
Amari and Kenyon Martin there. It's not good.
Yeah. Well, they love Fareed? They could use someone like that who's got no ego, who just likes to go out and play hard, no bullshit, doesn't complain about touches, just go get it for 35 minutes a night, no problem.
And that's contagious to the rest of the team.
So if you're Denver, you probably don't want to do that, but, you know, it's the tanking season.
Mm.
It could be a good... Denver started slow. It wouldn't be a terrible way to lose a bunch of games.
It's very true.
And, you know, and maybe get something in return for Fareed.
I just think they're still too close to the playoff fringe to... You know, they can win 45 games, 40 games and make the playoffs, you know, and I don't think that the organization is going to do it. I don't see it happening. Ty Lawson's finally got, you know, control of the team. They look good in patches. They got pretty owned by by the Warriors last season in the playoffs, but they made the playoffs, no doubt. It's a tough one, and there's other teams who are tanking worse, who are probably going to get that, you know, that worst record.
Don't give JaVale McGee $10 million a season if you want to win a bunch of games.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, that's what you got to do. I mean, like they were playing a three-man, backcourt last night with Miller, Robinson, and Lawson.
Yeah.
Awful.
Awful.
Mm. Like, are you trying to lose a bunch of games? If Lawson and Robinson are your backcourt, guys like Thompson is going to fire up over the top of them. It's no problem.
And Gallinari's still injured as well.
Yeah.
Depending on his time frame, if he comes back, they could put a playoff run together. But, yeah, it's looking pretty gross at the moment.
Well,
pretty
there's gross. No way Freed's going over there.
It's not his call. Denver might want to do it. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Would you rather have Fareed or the number 3 pick in the draft?
I'll take Fareed.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll take Fareed, and you can take Kenyon Martin, Amari, and Bagnani.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Speaking of Bagnani, do you think he's been playing well? Or
he's
are
coming
you
on a bit.
Yeah.
Patches.
He's doing good. Mm. He's very slow.
Yeah, he's slow.
For but such a gigantic mammoth of a human being.
So it plays into New York's hands if he's hitting the long ball, because if he's shooting threes and hitting threes, they got to bring a guy out. The big guy's got to step out and get a hand in his face. And that opens the lane up for Melo. That opens up other shooters, spreads the floor. So he can be a pretty integral piece of the team, whether or not, you know, he fits into the system and Woodson runs plays for him. Whether or not he stays healthy is another thing.
Don't think it merits mentioning that he didn't play good next to Chandler. And so it's basically a two-man offensive team with him and Melo, and that's where he's getting his points, but they're still not winning games. Mm. He's scoring. He's taking a lot of shots.
A lot of shots.
But, you know, their defense is terrible. Mm. Plus, it needs Chandler and him to play well together for it to work, because you need to supplement Bagnani's terrible defense.
Yeah.
And Chandler's limited offensive, but they couldn't get it to work together. He can't play power forward.
You can't. So you put him at center and put Melo at the four, there's no defense there.
Yeah, it's trouble.
There's no D at all. And if Amari's there, it doesn't help whatsoever.
Speaking of Melo, did anyone see the non-4-point play versus the Rockets in the last seconds?
Yeah.
What do you
questionable.
Think?
Questionable. That
think?
Was tough.
I think he got stitched.
I think he got totally stitched. Yeah. I always thought the rule was like, you know, they're always going to throw it up, and the ref's always going to go, oh, no, it was not shooting. But in the odd chance that it actually does go, you got to pay it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be the ref.
It was in up motion. There was no fake.
You
could
see there was a ticky-tack hit when he, like, just when he received the ball.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it without Harden in the play, all he did was catch the ball and try and shoot.
Yeah.
So what are you meant to do?
And they always say foul the guy when he's got his back to the basket. That's kind of because they know that the calls get given when he's facing the ring and he's got a second to square up and take a shot. And Melo's thinking, I'm shooting this all day. So you know the intention's there.
The other thing is there wasn't enough time on the clock to do anything other than catch the ball and shoot it.
You know, one more thing just on the Knicks is Metawell Peace wasn't playing today, just to add fuel to the fire here. And his brother, again with the tweets, was saying that MWP not hurt, but not playing. I know why, but I won't say. So,
What's his brother's name?
No idea.
Dave World Peace.
Trainwreck World Peace. I don't
Randy
know.
Randy Peace.
It's gross. It's gross.
So he knows why he didn't play it, but I'm not telling.
Oh, who knows? It's probably got to do with it because Chris Smith was activated for this game because World Peace was out. So is that a knee-jerk reaction to, you know, all the banter about Chris Smith not being NBA worthy and stuff? I hope he played today. I haven't seen it yet. I hope he stunk it up and went like 0-for-8 or something.
Brother of MWP is looking for a contract. Someone, one GM in the league called Chris Smith, maybe the worst player in the history of Summer League.
It's crazy.
It's Summer League. Yeah. And he's still got a gig. It's crazy.
Yeah. So maybe Jennings, you know, for all his like huff and puff and stuff, he might be right. You know, he's probably got valid points. I don't know. Doesn't it say one thing, though? The owner of the Knicks,
Dolan,
he said at the start of the year that he's expecting championship. Isn't that a disconnection from his team, though? Is he even your owner's saying that? And look at the state of them. You got to know you're not a championship team before the start of the season. Isn't that just kind of summing it all up? Like, he's delusional. A lot of them are delusional.
But he could have just been saying that to make the fans happy. Like, what's he going to go? Yeah, I think we'll maybe make top eight. Like, boo.
You say the business.
He's going to be like, we're
going to compete for a playoff spot. We're going to, you know, strengthen the team. We're going to...
So you just want the same generic crap that everyone else does.
I don't want it. It's what you say.
I prefer it to lies.
You know, I just
want to
thank my sponsors really quickly. And it's my mom's birthday tomorrow.
We're going to be a competitive East team, you know. We're going to go deep in the playoffs, put together a good run, and see what happens.
Remember the 90s? We were heaps good then. We were killing it.
Hey, let's talk about some random shit.
Yeah.
I love random shit.
Here's a weird fact. The Lakers didn't sell out their last home game. It's the first time in 7 years.
Streak's over.
Anyone want to talk about the impact of Kobe Bryant as a basketball player? Is he worth $21 or $31 million, or are they going to pay him again?
Well, he's
that's
just
a pretty
started,
big statement right there, folks.
He just came back to training today ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
I read that.
Oh, let me tell you, he just tweeted. Mm. If it was a playoff game, he would have been back.
Oh,
he'd be ready.
And he tweeted before that for Grizzlies, you know, and a date, and like he was going to come back for the Grizzlies game. He loves it.
He'll come back on
nobody
Christmas Day.
Nobody loves Facebook
Christmas Day
more than Kobe Bryant, and because he doesn't have any friends, no one's going to tell him that nobody Facebooks.
Yeah, pretty sure. 35. I'm confident it's a knee-jerk reaction, and one of the owners of the Lakers probably hacked his Twitter once they realized that they couldn't sell out a game with like Xavier Henry and Wesley Johnson playing. So they're like, yeah, we've got to give the fans a little something, something to want to buy our tickets, but
yeah,
it's fucking gross. It's real gross out there.
What about, have you seen how Joey Crawford, the referee, is slowly going insane? No, did you see him terrorize a towel boy this week? Oh, it's one of the most brutal things I've ever seen. He... one of the boys came over to clean the floor. The bald dude. Yeah, the insane dude. Yeah, he's been doing it for like 30-something
decades. You got to give him some respect.
Decades.
He's very, very old.
But he's going like...
Give him a ton of credit.
Yeah, he's going... He's, give him a... Maybe he's senile. I don't know. It's insane.
He probably started that when...
Little towelboy came over, did a good job, or not enough for him. Blew the whistle, beckoned him back, yelled at him, get back in there... Didn't like the job, sent him away and called two other guys to come back.
Wow.
Still stepping back, big screen, letting him know, telling him. And then, like, afterwards, he's holding the ball and the guy's waiting to get the ball to play and he's still just staring out the kid.
Wow.
The guy's just standing there with his mop, just like the whole arena. He's going, you suck at being a cowboy. You got to see it. YouTube it. It's the best.
For sure.
And I got one more. Big Baby, you see that? Yeah. You see the hotel incident?
Yeah.
This is pretty good.
Big Baby was still
alive. He's in existence, yeah. Taking,
when's he
trying
back?
To get a, he's trying to get a bit of puss at 4 a.m. in some Orlando hotel.
Yeah.
No rooms available. Big Baby picks up the keyboard and pegs it across the room.
Oh, he did a Russell Crowe.
Didn't cry. Oh, yeah. Don't think he cried, but, you know, yeah, really off it. And
so he wanted a hotel room at 4 a.m. and he couldn't get it.
He couldn't get it.
It's America.
I'm pretty sure he was there going, do you know who I am? Meh, meh, meh. And the guy wasn't buying it.
Was
so
he in Orlando?
The keyboard.
Why didn't he go to his fucking
he was,
house?
No, he was. He was in Orlando.
Well,
I don't know. It's 4 a.m.
His girlfriend was there. This
yeah.
It's 4 a.m. Baby doesn't have a girlfriend. Are you kidding me?
Big Mama's house. It's just a man in a giant fat suit going, I love you, baby.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Obviously, Larry Sanders, we talked about it, but we've got to talk about it again. He punched a guy in a bar and he was injured. Sucks shit. Bam.
You want to talk about it because you called him out.
I called
it. He's a hothead.
I called it in the beginning.
Well done. Yep. Well done.
I said he's a handbag. He's mentally... He's just mentally unstable.
Yeah.
I have friends that are mentally unstable and I can see it. I can smell it from a distance.
You did incredibly well. Give us your next one, fucking Westradamus. Let's have another one.
Westradamus, well, putting me on the spot, I...
Don't say Jason Kidd.
Which member of the 2011 Mavericks is going to disappoint you next?
I also found out that Kevin Love's middle name was Wesley today.
Mm.
Kevin Wesley Love. Wesley Love.
Yeah, it's a fantastic
And your
name.
Nickname's Love Machine as well.
Yeah, that's
how good
weird.
Is that? So creepy. So for anyone, if you want to get at Wes, yeah. Love Machine.
Hashtag Love Machine.
Yep.
All right, well, I guess that's about it for Full Court Press today. Tonight, whatever it is, we got some games to watch.
Thanks for everyone who's listening from overseas.
Yep. Again, so thanks to our friends in Croatia. And
Nicaragua.
Yep.
Yep. The Dominican Republic. We're huge there.
We have a Facebook page. What's
we do.
That bag?
It's facebook.com/FCP podcast.
Yeah.
And we have a Twitter that no one uses because we're in our 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're in Australia.
Yeah.
We're toying with the idea of an Instagram feed, but we'll get back to you on that. Yeah.
Mm.
When we do another podcast, Kobe Bryant will be back.
You reckon that's your
He will be back. There it is.
No,
next
not at
podcast,
all.
Kobe's back.
For as right you were with Sanders, you're so very wrong with Kobe.